Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Welcome, you're listening to Sports Ecom 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Russell Jackman and Mike McDowd. At each commercial break, we are going to ask a trivia question, and we do want to make a mention also for welcoming our latest additional station, AM 1550. SLC Sports Radio in Salt Lake City and throughout the Salt Lake Valley, with a special thanks to our program, to their program director, Dino Costa. And Mike, in our next segment, we have a guest who's been on the show before, and why don't you tell us who's going to be on our show?
Sure, he's truly, well, I want to say the incomparable, the one and only. We want to say hello to our friend Brian Sexton, who's standing by patiently in the Jaguar broadcast booth, bunker somewhere in Jacksonville, Florida. But Brian's great. He knows the game inside out, longtime television voice and radio voice of the Jacksonville Jaguars. A friend of mine. And Brian, can't wait to talk to you. I know you're the good thing about Brian is he knows how to talk. He's a pro, he is a professional.
We're going to have talking is not my problem. Stopping generally is, Mike. And stopping other people from talking is not my problem either. I just want to say hello to Dino Costa. I was just in Salt Lake City, and I know Dino. Feels right at home. Spectacular place there. I'm in Atlantic Beach, Florida, where it's about 100 degrees warmer than it is in Salt Lake City these days.
Yeah, my wife tells me I don't have a problem talking. I have a problem listening or something such like that. I don't know.
Okay. I think we all do. It's a Y chromosome thing.
Yeah, exactly. And when we come back, we get to start talking about football again, because we're getting into the, by the time this show airs, we will have already had the baseball All-Star game. So we don't know who won it yet. But all right, audience, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Ecom 101. Don't touch that dial. We are going to be right back.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in four distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit paliosf.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
Voted Best Natural Hot Springs in Calistoga by Travel and Leisure magazine, Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs has been providing wellness, relaxation, and good times since 1952. Rooted in Calistoga's rich history, a new spa garden and outdoor living reveals why Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs is the place to stay. Come visit us in beautiful Calistoga and experience our special mud baths and healing mineral waters. It's no wonder USA Today voted Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs as the best wine country hotel. You won't find a more relaxing time than staying in our exquisite rooms and experiencing the awesome spa temperature mineral springs. Call 707-942-4102 or visit drwilkinson.com. That's drwilkinson.com.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to elkcoveinn.com for reservations. That's elkcoveinn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, along with Russell Jackman, Mike McDowell, and our special guest, Brian Sexton, play-by-play announcer for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, Brian, what's going to happen this year with the Jaguars?
Well, listen, if you'd asked me last year, I would have told you I thought they would have been 9-8. 8-9, and it's still strange to talk about an odd number of games after so many years of being at 16. And then, of course, everything fell apart. The quarterback got hurt for the second year in a row. But I'm going to say the same thing. I think the new coaching staff, the new general manager, the additions that they made, and the fact that at some point Trevor Lawrence, generational talent out of Clemson that we've been waiting to see more than just bits and bytes of, is going to come into his own. He's an incredibly talented kid, right? He's got the length, he's got the strength, he's got the intellect, he's got a passion for the game, but it hasn't come about in his first couple of seasons. Now's the time. And I think that the moves that they made, and remember, Shad Khan was going to try to stay as pat as he could and keep the former general manager, a guy you know well, Trent Baalke, from his days in San Francisco, and the fan base revolted. The phone stopped ringing, and all of a sudden, they had to go from standstill, let's try to see if we can move this forward and get back to where we thought we would be with this group, to 1,000 miles an hour, bring Tony Boselli in to all of a sudden be the general manager's boss, right, the executive vice president. The general manager, James Gladstone, comes from Los Angeles, where he had great success with the Rams. And then Liam Cohen, who revitalized the Buccaneers offense and Baker Mayfield's career. And since that point, I mean, it's just been 1,000 miles an hour. So I don't have these lofty ideas that they're going to be transcendent, that they're going to transcend 9 wins. I think that's about the cap for this team this year. But 9 wins in the AFC South will put you in contention.
Yeah, Trevor, boy, he suffered a couple of kind of major injuries too. That's, you know, he's young, so he can recover. But I remember he got like one kind of major concussion, and then
he did.
Was it an ankle?
In Philly, he dove for a first down, and Zach Bond, their all-pro middle linebacker, just clocked him in the left shoulder, non-passing arm, but separated it in sort of a funky way that required surgery. He tried to come back a couple weeks early, and then took that wicked shot against the Texans from that linebacker who just came up at 1,000 miles an hour. It was a cheap shot, and it knocked him out the rest of the year. And it was a fitting end to a miserable season in Jacksonville. 4-13 is just about as bad as you can get.
Except for the Bucs back in 1976 with, you know, 0-13 or whatever. I remember.
Do you remember what John McKay said, the former USC coach, what he said about that team? Russell, I bet you remember this. He was asked post-game, McDowd, I know you do too. He said, what do you think about your team's execution today? He said, I'm all for it.
Yes. I mean, I was going to ask you, you know, with the way that, you know, the Titans weren't very good, but it looks like the Texans are really the quality team in the AFC South. What do you think that Jacksonville has done to make themselves a better team than the Texans or competitive with the Texans?
Well, listen, they should be competitive with the Texans, but Russell, it's interesting. Since the Texans came into the league as an expansion team in 2002, the Jaguars have had a miserable record against them. They've always struggled against Houston. And it doesn't matter whether Andre Johnson was catching passes, right? Or whether it was CJ Stroud slinging the ball all over the field. They just have struggled against this team for so many years. But they're not, and I say this with some respect, I saw Mark Vandermeer, their fine play-by-play man, in Park City when I was out there last week. He was on vacation in that neck of the woods as well. And we talked about it. The Jaguars and Texans aren't that far apart in talent, yet they have executed well. They have a great culture in the building because of DeMeco Ryans and the Jaguars. And I really am a fan of Doug Peterson. But there's no culture the last 3 years. You know, and you guys, you've all covered great football teams. And the Jaguars don't have any Super Bowl rings. But when you walk in the door at San Francisco or Pittsburgh or New England or Dallas, you know there's an expectation for the type of player you are, for how you are a professional, how you conduct your business day to day on the practice field, how you travel, all of those things, how you interact with the community. And I'm not saying that the Jaguars did it all poorly, but they didn't do it at a championship level. And I think DeMeco Ryans really instituted a level of culture in the building in Houston, at least that's what Mark Vandermeer tells me, that gave them a chance with a young quarterback to have some success. The Jaguars didn't have that. I really believe that Tony Boselli is the thread that ties this all together for Jacksonville this year. Russell, to answer your question, he goes back to the Coughlin days, 95, the expansion season through 2000, when they were a contender in the AFC every year. There's a level of toughness that he brings to the table, a level of expectation of how you prepare in the building and how you prepare when you go home, and that you go home.
Wasn't Mark Brunell the quarterback back then?
You bet. Jimmy Smith and Fred Taylor. You know, they had a five-year run where they were as good as any team in football, and yet it fell off hard because of salary cap problems. And listen, they've really never recovered. In 2007, they made the playoffs. In 2017, they made the playoffs. In 2022, they made the playoffs. I mean, in the last 25 years, the Jaguars have really been among the lesser performing teams, and that's the nice way of saying bottom feeder, in professional football. But Tony Boselli, the Hall of Famer, is a guy who played the game. He's a nasty, wanted to take your head off offensive tackle. I think he's going to bring that kind of mentality into the building. There's plenty of talent. I know 4-13 wouldn't indicate that, but there's plenty of talent in Jacksonville. They just need someone to tie it all together, the culture, the talent level, the coaching, and I think Boselli's the guy to get it done.
Didn't they lose a couple of games fairly, like, by inches, so to speak?
They lost 10 games last year by one score. They lost seven games by a field goal or less in the fourth quarter.
Exactly. I remember that. Yeah. That 4-13 could easily have been like 9-8. Go ahead, Mike.
But it wasn't. It wasn't because they weren't a mentally tough team. They weren't a group of guys that you guys know this. Our society in general lacks a certain grit. Maybe it's the fact that you can push a button and Amazon will deliver anything to your house. You don't have to get in the car in a rainstorm and drive to Home Depot to pick up something. It just shows up, right? And we see that in some athletes. You see these guys and they're just, they don't have that grit level. They don't have that.
I mean, that's always been the case. There have been underperforming athletes from the dawn of time, the people that don't live up to their, you know, physical expectation.
But the money is a big thing because in the old days, you know, like Ted Williams used to have to get a job after the season, you know. Go ahead.
I'm so glad you brought that up because Trevor Lawrence at the start of the 2023 season was made the highest paid quarterback, the highest paid player in the NFL, and his record was 21-22 with one playoff win, right? I mean, there was a time, Russell, where if you wanted that big payday, you had to go earn it. You had to create an opportunity based on your results on the field. Well, clearly, and listen, I'm a fan of Trevor. I think he's got all the ability in the world. And I understand that it's an 11-person offensive unit, and it can't all fall on him. But when you're making $54 million a year and you get it with a losing record in one playoff win, it does sort of dampen the grit meter a little bit. When you go home to a huge home and you drive the biggest Cadillac and you're living the life and you haven't had to really grind it out to be paid like that, I think that's a problem with all of sports.
Which is interesting.
Very few Tom Brady's.
You know, and it's interesting because Jared Goff kind of came up quickly through the ranks, did well in L.A. and then just faltered like crazy. And then he goes to Detroit and kind of picks that team back up again. Okay, you guys ready for our first trivia question here? And just as a reminder, Brian, if you know the answer, don't say anything quite yet. We'll see if you can come right back when we come back from the break with the answer. Which U.S. state has a park where visitors can hunt diamonds? I never even heard about that, right? Email Edward at sportsecom101.com. See if you know the answer to this question. Which U.S. state has a park where visitors can hunt diamonds? I think after the show, we all got to go there, you know? All right, audience, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Ecom 101. Don't touch that dial. We are going to be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, that's 800-620-1624.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman and Mike McDowell, and our special guest, Brian Sexton. Which U.S. state has a park where visitors can hunt diamonds? What do you think, guys? What state?
How about Arkansas?
Yes.
Wow.
Did you know that?
Well, I did know that. They're not necessarily real diamonds, but they're Arkansas diamonds. I'm from Kansas and Missouri, I grew up doing a lot of camping with the Boy Scouts down in the Ozarks, and I remember hearing about Arkansas diamonds. I'm not a geologist. I just know that they're, it's kind of like iron pyrite, right? Fool's gold.
If you go up to
the Black Hills of South Dakota, you see all these rocks in the stream bed and you think it's gold. No, it's pyrite.
When I gave my wife her diamond ring, I told her now she had more carrots than Bugs Bunny. Go ahead, Mike. You were going to ask Brian a question.
Very good. First of all, I'm kind of disappointed. I don't get to show my beautiful mug today. I get to use the art form of radio to communicate to Brian. One of the beautiful things about what you do, and you know, I consider you, first of all, a friend, but I love your story. We want to talk Jaguars football, but I also want to talk about Brian Sexton, the man, the broadcaster, the husband, the father. You're in your 32nd year coming up, 32nd NFL season, and you've been with the Jaguars. Were you the youngest play-by-play guy in NFL history at 25?
I was, because the original owner of the Jaguars wasn't scared to take a chance on young people. And I came from the Midwest, and I had no accent whatsoever, and Mr. Weaver loved that. Came from the University of Kansas, which has produced some very notable talents, Roger Tribal, Kevin Harlan, Gary Bender. So I was in the right place at the right time. I was willing to do what others wouldn't. My first job out of college was in a small town down near Arkansas called Chanute, Kansas, where I turned the radio station on every morning and I turned it off every evening. I hosted the morning, noon, and evening news. I sold advertising in between, and I would do girls volleyball, boys basketball, football, softball, baseball. At the time, I couldn't wait to leave. And now, as I get older, as you gentlemen might attest, I'm a little nostalgic for those early days of radio. It's a special medium, Mike. I know it is to you as well. And I was blessed to be in the place where I got to go to Jacksonville, and Mr. Weaver gave me a chance, and it's been a dream for 30 years. A kid from Kansas living in Atlantic Beach, Florida.
You had to prove yourself. But, I mean, if you didn't do well, he wasn't going to keep you.
Yeah, no, that's right. Listen, that's right. And Tom Coughlin, and you guys probably all have had a mentor in your life who helped guide you to where you are today. Mine was Tom Coughlin. Now, he was coaching the Jaguars as an expansion team, but he was also coaching me on how to be a broadcaster, how to deal with a head coach who didn't have a lot of patience and could really make an hour-long radio show miserable for the host when the coach would answer every question yes or no. I mean, listen, I used to joke. I still do joke. I told him this not long ago. I would go into a Thursday night radio show with him with 100 questions, and I could ask one and he could take the whole hour, or I could have to ask all 100. I just didn't know which Tom I was getting. Wow. I learned a lot.
Brian, you're kind of selling yourself short. I mean, I'll say this, and you fill us in with all the incredible details, but I said it last time, I'm going to say it again. Your story as a broadcaster and a speaker, you're very, very eloquent. I mean, you're very good at what you do. I really admire your work and am a fan of yours. And that should get some brownie points right there from you. Yeah. But the point is,
I'm buying coffee the next time we meet.
The point is, Brian, your story is framed in the work of Disney.
I mean, you were doing eight-man football, and that I'm aware of in broadcast history in the NFL, I don't think there's been a guy who's jumped from eight-man football to the National Football League to be a professional broadcaster. I mean, essentially, you go from, no offense, and this is not a knock on you, but you go somewhat of a, you're a novice guy, you're a rookie, and you get a shot in the NFL? Are you kidding me? How amazing is that?
Well, first of all, it is amazing. And as you can see over my head, faith is a big part of my life. And I believe God put me in a position to be able to succeed with the gifts he gave me, right? I can't do a lot, Russell. I mean, listen, I don't work with these very well, but I can talk until you just turn the computer off. So God put me in a place where I could really, you know, go to work. And my parents and I went to a Jesuit high school in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm an Eagle Scout. I learned how to prepare. And I think the message, you know, Mike, and you're very kind to say this and to put me on this pedestal to share this story. But I went from eight-man high school football where I sold the advertisements on Tuesday and Wednesday. I climbed a water tower in the middle of town to hang my antenna, and I stood in the rain and called the play-by-play. I was my own color analyst, and I read those commercials that I had sold live. And that tape got me an NFL job. So the point that I like to make to people is it's possible. And it's if you're prepared and you're willing to do what other people won't do, let me just steal it from Tom Brady, because he said it when they retired his number the other day, or back in April. He said, listen, he goes, you don't have to be special to be successful. You just have to be what most people aren't. You have to be determined, committed, and willing to work hard. And I was all of those things. And you know what, Mike? It happened for me. So I think the message for anybody who's listening to this, who's thinking, you know, I really want to do this or that with my life. I don't like where I'm at. I want to go here. You can do it. You just have to figure out what it takes and then be willing to go and do it. If you're willing to do today what others won't, tomorrow you can do what others can't.
Yeah, you kind of look like Joe Montana. You know, he didn't have the strongest arm. He didn't have the fastest legs, yes. You know, but he got it done. Let me ask you, do you get much fan mail?
You know, not so much anymore. Lots of emails from people that, you know, it isn't that they're a fan of Brian Sexton. It's that they're connecting to me, right? They're a fan of the Jaguars, and they can connect to me because I'm likely to respond. If you send an email to Travis Hunter or Brian Thomas Jr. Or Josh Hines Allen, you're not going to get a response. Those guys are so busy. They have so much going on. And I think this really played into the small market, Edward, that I'm in. Jacksonville is technically the smallest market in the NFL because Green Bay has Milwaukee. Jacksonville doesn't have Orlando, right? We're the smallest market, really. And the beautiful part about it is Publix is the big shopping center, the big grocery store in Florida. People can come up to me in Publix every day and say, hey, what about this? What did you think about that? And they do. Listen, I learned the hard way. I'm waiting to buy fish and someone's pissed off about the way the game went on Sunday. I'll go to the back of the line and talk, you know, respectfully. And that really has built my career here, because a lot of people feel like they know me personally.
And let me ask you, and it's a little personal question, and feel free to not answer if you don't want, but how much does an announcer make?
It's a good six-figure job. I mean, it's $175,000 and up in the league. I mean, I think that's about the baseline for where it is.
That's per game. That's per game, right?
No. It's not that at all. most of us do other things, you know? Most of us freelance.
Talk to that owner and tell him you need a raise.
Well, I'm not saying that's what I make, but it's roughly, you know, it's about that. And I, you know, work in television a little bit here and there, and go do some freelance stuff. And life is good. I have a very successful wife. I have three sons who are on the verge of being grown. I'm hoping to retire at some point in the next couple of years, or at least dial it back a little bit and enjoy life. Come out west and hike the beautiful mountains and explore the vistas that you guys have out there. But I have no complaints. My career.
I was going to ask you that. Besides, like the actual announcing of the game, I got to think that you get invited to go to various places where the players are going to be to announce such and such. You know, I'm just thinking about like when the Giants, well, of course, when the Giants won the World Series, then you had the two announcers actually like announced to the big crowd that they were there. You must get those kind of invitations.
Well, you're a part of it. That's the interesting thing is, you know, we go to London, right? And we're there for 2 weeks and we're out doing community events. The owner has a party on his yacht. I mean, we're integrated into the team for the purpose, you know, give me the microphone, let me introduce the owner. Right. I mean, it's fine. Yeah. That's fine. I'm happy to do that. And I get to meet some, you know, some fabulous people and experience things that I wouldn't otherwise get to do. People turn their nose at Jacksonville. We haven't had a lot of success and we're not Miami and sexy like Orlando and Tampa. But the beautiful part about Jacksonville is it's a small market. Everyone knows everyone here. It's about 1 million people. But it feels good, and it's been fun to be a part of a franchise, and I've been a part of it since they were in trailers building the stadium. It's interesting now they're starting to build a brand new stadium. I've been a part of it since, you know, it was brick and mortar coming on top. So it's nice to sort of be the historian of the franchise as well. It's been a really amazing career.
Well, all right, guys, we're going to go to our next trivia question here. How much space did the world's first computer occupy? I think I may have asked this question once before, and you don't have to give me the exact number. But give me a rough guesstimate. All right, how much space did the world's first computer occupy? Now it says here 1956, but I would have thought the computer was before then. So we're gonna use the year 1956. How big? How much space did the world's first computer in 1956 occupy? Stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
At the heart of San Francisco lies the Axiom Hotel. Located in the heart of Union Square, the Axiom Hotel blends a sense of history with modern touches. Our spacious accommodations are comfortable and created with a soft ambiance, with state-of-the-art amenities such as a core fitness center and in-room espresso and coffee. Guest reviews rave about the staff, as well as how quiet the hotel is, so you can get a good night's sleep and rest up for a day of shopping at the best stores San Francisco has to offer. Just steps from the Powell Street cable car turnaround, the Axiom Hotel is ideal for exploring downtown San Francisco. Check out axiomhotel.com for our specials and vacation packages and book online today. That's axiomhotel.com or call 415-392-9466. That's 415-392-9466. The Axiom Hotel San Francisco.
Mountain Mike's Pizza. You've heard our phrase, pizza the way it ought to be. But did you know that our famous pepperoni large pizza has over 100 pieces of pepperoni on it? Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily, never frozen. Having a party? We have a great room for parties and a video arcade with tickets and prizes for kids, located at 2100 4th Street in San Rafael. You'll enjoy your pizza the way it ought to be. Call us at 415-454-4300. That's Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael.
Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa provides guests with an all-lakefront hotel in South Lake Tahoe, where every lodge room and condominium has a view of the lake and mountains. Hotel rooms offer lodge pine furnishings, gas fireplace, and a full lake view. Condominiums offer private bedroom, full kitchen, and living area with a fireplace. Guests can relax or play on over 500 feet of private beach and enjoy a dip in the outdoor heated pool and hot tub that are also lakeside. Elements Day Spa, located inside the hotel, offers individual and couples packages with treatments inspired by Tahoe's nature. The Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa, located close to all of South Lake Tahoe summer and winter activities. Perfect for individual and group getaways to the lake and mountains. No added resort fees here. Call 800-448-4000. 800-288-4577 or go to TahoeLakeshoreLodge.com.
Just minutes from LAX, the Lum Hotel offers travelers a comfortable and convenient stay in an exciting neighborhood. Its prime location provides easy access to major attractions such as SoFi Stadium, Hollywood Park, and the future home of the LA Clippers. You'll enjoy a fitness center, resort-style pool, and rooftop bar. The perfect spot for dining after a game, enjoying craft cocktails before a concert, or just having a casual dinner. The Lum Hotel just recently opened, so book your reservations now at lumhotel.com. That's L-U-M Hotel.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Edward Brown along with Russell Jackman, Mike McDowd, and our special guest, Brian Sexton. All right, guys, in 1956, how much space did the world's first computer occupy? Now, Russell should know this.
The entire office floor, didn't it?
Give me the rough square footage if you can.
Like 100 by 100, you don't know what a whole office.
Well, that's too much. Actually, 1,800 square feet, which is still kind of a lot. And now get this: 20,000 vacuum tubes, 1,500 relays, 10,000 capacitors, something like, I guess, a flux capacitor.
100
like
by 100, by the way, is 1,000 square feet. So
no, 100 by 10 is 1,000 feet.
100 by 10. Sorry.
100 is 10,000 feet. Yes, and 70,000 resistors. Okay, now before we get back to sports here, this is kind of funny. All right, so this is going to be sort of a little bit of economic type thing, okay? Here's the various definitions using cows, all right? Socialism, you have two cows, you give one cow to your neighbor. Communism, you have two cows, give both cows to the government, and they may give you back some milk. Fascism, you have two cows, you give all the milk to the government, and the government sells it. Nazism, you have two cows, the government shoots you and takes both cows. Anarchism is you have two cows, keep both the cows, shoot the government agent and steal another cow. And then capitalism, you have two cows, sell one cow and buy a bull. That's pretty good. I like
all
that
right,
one.
All right. I like it. I'll take capitalism. Thank you.
Works for me.
Hey.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, you know, an important question for our guest, Brian Sexton, of course, is with us live in the beautiful metropolis of Jacksonville, where I'm located. And Brian, happy to have you on this show. I like to say, you know, we go coast to coast, border to border, and of course, overseas with our U.S. military. But, you know, the question that if I don't ask you this, people are going to say, you're an idiot. Travis Hunter, number two pick, NFL. Yeah. What does it mean for the team? What does it mean for the league? Because so much is riding on this guy. And, of course, you know, obviously, you know, the quarterback out of Clemson has a target, we think. Or, you know, is he gonna play half offense, half defense? What's the status? And so far, I hear things are looking really good.
Listen, it was a huge swing. It was the biggest swing in the Jaguars' 31 NFL drafts. It's not like they went from 25 to 2. To go from 5 to 2 doesn't seem like a huge jump. But for a new coach, a new general manager, a new executive vice president of football operations, to take next year's one and this year's one and package it with a 2 and a couple of other picks, to go up was a bold move. They love Travis Hunter. My interaction with him, I was in Green Bay for the draft. I was blown away by the type of person that he was. I expected there to be some of the Deion, and there is a little bit of Deion Sanders there because he's a showman, but not in terms of the ego. He was a down-to-earth kid, and I was really impressed with him and came back and sang his praises. You know, and you guys have seen this, the elite athletes, right? The elite, the best of the best in any sport. When you watch them just walk, you notice that they move differently. They are bioengineered different than the average person. And when you watch Travis Hunter, whether it's walking, running a route, covering a defensive back, whatever he's doing, he is an effortless athlete. I don't know how much he's going to play. They've said he's going to be primarily offense with a splash of defense. Travis keeps saying he's going to play both ways and he wants to play every snap. Now that's ambitious, because when you're a college athlete way above everyone else's level, which he was, you can do that because you don't have to practice during the week. But in the NFL, you must practice on Wednesday and Thursday if you're going to play well on Sunday. And it's so, gosh, it's so much work to master one position, to take the transition from Saturday to Sunday at one spot, and to be able to digest it and go out and play. To do it at two would be a remarkable achievement. Now, I haven't run into anybody in the building.
Trainers around, right?
Yeah. Listen, I haven't had anybody in the building tell me they don't think he can do it. But he's going to have to take extra meetings. He's going to have to take the iPad home and work on one position or the other at home. He was a student at the University of Colorado, graduated before he showed up in May, has a tremendous work ethic, wants to be the best. So I give him great odds. But I do say this about Hunter. And I think if you get 6 touchdowns and 4 interceptions out of him this year, wouldn't that be an all-pro year? That's a little ambitious. But I know that it takes time because I've seen it over 32 years. So I'm asking people to pump the brakes a little bit and let him figure out how to play both positions. I think he'll be a two-way player in time, Mike. I think he'll be a two-way player this year. But I think he'll be a more impactful player as he figures out. The difference between Saturday and Sunday is a quantum leap. At the highest level, in the Southeastern Conference or in the Big Ten, right? It's a massive jump for those guys. So two positions in that massive jump, a little breathing room would be good.
Well, it sounds like the Jaguars might have to get a little breathing room, sure. But let me ask you, so 32nd season, you've been around the game a long time now, and we don't talk about this for too long, but do you get excited? Is there anticipation, or is like, well, been there, done that, you know, it's my job, this is what I do? Or do you get little butterflies? Do you get pumped up?
Yeah, I do. Listen, not now. In 2 weeks when they report to camp, I will be. But the slowdown in the NFL season is from the middle of June until the end of July when players report for camp. And coaches and players, they're gone. You know, they get out of there for 4 or 5 weeks. And that time is precious. And it's my time, too. So I try to savor every day until the 23rd, which is when the Jaguars open training camp. And then, Mike, the first day, it feels like the first day of training camp in 1995. When the Jaguars went to Stevens Point, Wisconsin for their only training camp outside of the state of Florida.
How much preparation do you have to do before each game?
Before a game?
Yeah.
Well, you try to do it through the spring. You know, you try to get to know the players, their numbers, you know, the correct pronunciation of their name, where they're from. You know, any like Travis Hunter, Heisman Trophy winner. You know, you like to know something about every player before training camp begins. And then it's the stories of training camp, right? It's the long, hot days. It's, you know, who gets into the weight room, who gets into the training room, who's asleep on the bench in the hallway. You know, as you go through training camp and the preseason especially, and I'm a television guy in the preseason. I do our regional television broadcast during the preseason. And so for me, you know, those stories are, you get into the third and fourth quarter when Bobby Smith from Who's That State is on the field, right? You know, kid who's got really no chance of making the roster, maybe can cling to a practice squad spot. You know, those are fun stories to tell because it's a guy who's probably going to go be an accountant or a salesman or go to law school, right? And this is his one bite at the NFL apple. And those are fun stories to tell. So I like to dive in, Edward, and find those guys and who have great stories to tell, and then do my best to tell them well. So it starts in the spring when the draft and free agency are complete, and it never really ends. You're just always getting to know these guys. And yeah, week to week, you know, you remember what happened last week. You look forward to next week's opponent, and you do all your due diligence and watch some tape and talk to some coaches and players. But it's really the stories of the people, of the players, you know, they're human beings. At one point last year, we had 2 defensive coaches on a defensive staff that was terrible, right? They went and hired Ryan Nielsen, who's now in Buffalo, and the staff just bombed. It was a terrible defensive performance. But we found out, you know, towards the end of the season that 2 coaches had wives who were going through breast cancer treatment. And I mean, that, listen, football is so all encompassing. And these guys, live and breathe it. And they're there early and they stay late every day of the week. There's no days off. And then you've got a wife who is going through chemo and you have small kids and you're trying to get them to school and get to work and get help from family who comes. You know, it, when you get that kind of perspective, everybody in Jacksonville kind of took a deep breath last year and went, yeah, I'll lay off the defense. I get it, you know. So telling the story of people is really important to me, and to the best broadcasters I know want to tell the stories really, really well and correctly. So that kind of, it's an ongoing process. It's kind of that as you breathe, I'm looking for stories.
And when you're doing play by play, when you see a bonehead play going on, how do you keep from, cause I imagine that sometimes when I'm watching a game and I'm thinking, what are you thinking?
I've learned the hard way because I don't have much of a filter to shut up and sometimes just let the, in television, it's much easier than radio because you can just get out of the way and let the pictures tell the story, right?
Yeah.
In radio, especially when you're a team broadcaster, right? If you're working for a national radio outfit, you can be a little bit, you know, freer with your words. But when you're working for the team and you have to go into the locker room and deal with these players and these coaches, you don't want their wives or girlfriends or parents saying, you can't believe what that Sexton guy said about you on the radio. So
I remember we had John Robinson on, for play-by-play for the Giants, and he's done TV and radio. And I think, and this may have been on TV, and there was this one player, I think it was for the A's, and it was the biggest bonehead base running that you'd ever seen. And he couldn't help himself because when you looked at it, he said, what was he thinking? That was the craziest thing. And John's great. Well, listen, John Robinson.
There's two ways to say things. One is insightful, insightful, and one is insightful, incitefuel.
Ite, yes, I get that.
And I've learned to be the first and pick my words and let numbers tell the story, right? And although I will say this, our culture I think has become a little more coarse through social media, and people tend to be a little more edgy. So you can say things in 2025 that in 1995, I never would have thought about saying.
And as long as you haven't any death threats, that's a good day.
It's all right. Yeah.
That's all right.
Hey, Brian, speaking of edgy, when are they going to start letting broadcasters, you, me, and not, I'm not saying that you and I would go to this level, but in today's society, you're hearing presidents and politicians saying F you and all this kind of stuff. When is that going to start taking place on the broadcast?
I hope it never does because, and listen, I'm as guilty as the next guy of letting loose with the wrong thing to say. But it's just, as a broadcaster, as broadcasters, gentlemen, I think we could probably all agree that there's a standard when you're behind the microphone of how to conduct yourself.
Well, and also FCC regulations.
Howard Cosell never works blue.
Yeah.
You know,
Howard told some blue stories at dinner. I was at dinner once in Canton, Ohio, where I heard him tell a couple of stories. Never on the air.
This is recorded. I one time had an attorney on the show and he dropped an F-bomb. I forgot to tell him, by the way, you can't swear. And so unfortunately I found out where it was. Okay, guys, ready for our third trivia question? This one's kind of hard. What was the city of Boston originally called? This is not going to help you, but I'll give you a hint. It was derived from the three hills that characterized the area. I don't think anybody knew how to spell it, so they renamed it Boston. But that's our trivia question. Stay with us, Sports Ecom 101. We'll be right back with some closing comments. Don't touch that dial.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D. Gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman, Mike McDowd, and Brian Sexton, our special guest. All right, guys, what was the city of Boston originally called? Does anybody know?
Beantown.
No, I mean, that would have been kind of normal, I would have thought. Tremontaine? T-R-E-M-O-N-T-A-I-N-E. I guess nobody could pronounce it or spell it, so they called it Boston.
Listen, I used to live outside of Boston when I was a kid for 2 years, and I never heard that. I was going to call it Ducktown.
Well, you're talking about 16-something probably, right? Because originally Boston on that. Brian, we're definitely going to have you on because during our break, you said when we want to talk about gambling, and all of us are against gambling in sports, so it'll be a great show to have you back on.
Yep.
And if you guys are – first of all, I have a quick silly joke of the – was this a silly joke of the week? No, that's my thoughts of the week. What am I thinking of? Okay, so all right, I have here a silly joke, but it's actually your thoughts of the day. So, I have been diagnosed with a chronic fear of giants. It's called fee-fi-fo-phobia. Boy, that's bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
That's bad. And then, you know, some guy tried to sell me a coffin. That's the last thing I need. All right, Brian Sexton.
As Russell said earlier, Howard Cosell never worked blue, neither did Edward Brown.
Thank you very much. Brian Sexton, can I say Brian Sexton from the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah, you may. And it's thank you for saying Jaguars and not Jaguars, as the folks
I know that. I don't know who came up with that.
Say.
The car.
Thanks for not saying Brian Seltzer, formerly of the Stray Cats, either. I was thinking Sexton Seltzer.
I know what I used to love to listen to the Stray Cats on a Friday night with my friends when I was in high school, but I can't sing at all.
Okay. All right.
Brian Sexton, thank you again for joining us. And audience, tune in next week to Sports Ecom 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
Adios.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Militech.
Thanks, guys.